Okay. Therefore, under the four noble truths, under the Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana, we have six sense bases. We have five aggregates of clinging. And yesterday I have mentioned six sense bases and the five aggregates of clinging are also under Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana and under Four Noble Truths. And because all these are interrelated. Okay, now yesterday we come. Yesterday we talked about wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, their craving arises and establishes itself. And we also come to understand six sense objects, six sense faces, feeling, mind, thinking, pondering, all this is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. And also, we have also talked about whatever when we regard anything in the world with a pleasant and agreeable nature as permanent, as happiness, as self, as healthy, as secure, we nurtured craving. And all this craving is the origin of Four Noble Truths. And we have mentioned there are three types of craving. One is craving for sensual pleasures. And if you think anything in the world is pleasant, then you start to develop craving. This is called craving for sensual pleasures. And another one is craving for existence. Whatever life it will be, we crave for it, whether it's in animal world, beta world, hell world, or in a heaven realm. Of course, we crave more when there is happy existence. And because of this craving for existence, so many people, when they get to know, when Arahant passes into Parinibbana, there's no more existence. Right, because the defilements that sustain the existence have been uprooted. So after Arahant's Parinibbana, they will not have any new existence. And when someone who heard this no more existence for Arahant, and they stop practicing. This clearly shows that people or human beings crave for existence. Without existence, they think the I is extinguished. But in the teaching of the Buddha, in the first place, there is no I, right? There is no self. So who extinguished? No one extinguished. It's just a succession of cause and effect. So for those who are strongly cling to the perception of I, my, myself, when they heard about, when Arahant passes away, no more existence, then they develop fear. Fear of what? Fear of losing the cherished self. This is wrong view. This is wrong view. So in the whole teaching of the Buddha, we cannot find there is eternal self. Eternal self is a type of eternality view, which is wrong view. The whole teaching of the Buddha concerns only cause and effect. So what sustains the existence? What sustain our being here? What defilements? The two great defilements. One is called ignorant, avijja. Another one, craving. So these two defilements are the root causes for beings, for existence. And when Arahant eradicated, when Arahant uproot these two main causes for existence, just like the root of a tree being destroyed, then how can the tree grow again? Similarly, when the defilements of the root cause of existence, avijja and tanha, are destroyed, how can the existence come into being? If it can, then the whole teaching of the Buddha cannot stand in the world. Therefore, we should understand our existence here is the effect of certain cause, of a certain causes. The causes are avijja and tanha, ignorance and craving. So we don't have to afraid that after parinibbana there will be no more existence, because that is still very far away from us. To attain Arahant is still so far away from us. Don't have to worry now. Okay? If you want to worry only when you want to become Arahant at the time, then you start to worry. Now still so far away. Okay. So this is the origin of a suffering, craving for sensual pleasure and craving for existence. And craving for existence is also accompanied with eternality view. We think we, after that, will go to another plane of existence. And we think it's the same person. It's the same person transmigrate from one place to another place. This is called eternality view. It's not the same person. Neither the same nor otherness. It's not exactly the same person. But we also cannot say that person has nothing to do with me now. There's also relation. It's just a rebirth. Rebirth is a continuation of consciousness. Our consciousness cannot come into completely stop. Why? Because our consciousness, the stream of consciousness, is sustained by avijja and tanha. The stream of consciousness is sustained by craving and ignorance. So long the craving and ignorance still intact, the stream of consciousness cannot come into completely stop. So the rebirth means the new coming, new arising of birth consciousness, or rebirth consciousness in new existence only. But in the new coming of consciousness in a new existence, we think this is I, mine. Then we say we take rebirth in heavenly plane. We grasp to this new consciousness as I, myself again. This is also called eternality view. It's one type of wrong view. We should see cause and effect. How to let go of this eternality view, Buddha said, and you also recite every morning. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara paccaya viññānam. Viññānam paccaya nammarūpam. Nammarūpa paccaya salayatanam. So every day you recite. There's no eternality person, not an eternal self, but because of avijja, because of ignorance, that sankhara comes. Because of sankhara, then sankhara paccaya nammarūpa. Nammarūpa, mind body. And because of mind body, there's six sense spaces. Because of six sense spaces, there's contact. So the whole process is just a relationship of cause and effect. This is called correct view. This view can defeat the view of eternalism or the view of annihilation. Therefore, the craving for existence is also accompanied by wrong view of eternalism, thinking a same I, a same person transmigrate from one place to another place. And the third type of craving is called craving for non-existence. This is less happening in the world. Most people cling to eternality view. And the craving for non-existence or annihilation is the view, is the craving accompanied by annihilation view. And this person thinks that after that, there's no more. Everything finished, no more. Which most Buddhists cannot accept. Because so long we have defilement, and a new life will continue to come. How can it be no more? Not possible. So long the causes are there, the effect will keep on arising. Therefore, the view of annihilation, the view of annihilation is not accepted for all Buddhists. So these are the three types of craving. Okay. Next, we come to the third noble truth. And this craving in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, Buddha said, this craving must, first, he said, you must know the origin of suffering is craving. Then secondly, the second insight is the origin of suffering, which is craving, must be abandoned. Must be abandoned. And the third one, third insight is the origin of craving, the origin of suffering, which is craving, had been abandoned. That's only when you become arahant. Right? So now we know theoretically the origin of suffering is craving. We know already. The second thing we should do is we must abandon this craving. We must forsake this craving. But how to forsake and abandon craving? How? So this comes to the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. The third noble truth. The noble truth of the cessation of suffering. Buddha said, it is the complete fading away and extinction of this craving. It's very easy to understand. Craving is the cause of suffering. And the end of suffering is to remove this craving. It's so easy to understand. So, what is the noble truth of the cessation of suffering? It is the complete fading away and extinction of this craving. It's forsaking and abandonment, liberation from the craving and detachment from the craving. This is called the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. But now come to the question, how? How to do? How to abandon the craving? How to forsake the craving? What do you think? Now you already understand, craving is the origin of all suffering, so you want to tackle that craving. But how to do? Investigation, try to use your wisdom to investigate. How this craving come to be abandoned? How does its cessation come about? And Buddha said, wherever in the world, this saying is in Dikha Nikaya, Long Discourse, Mahasatipatthana Sutta. Buddha give the answer. However, we cannot understand the answer. Okay? Buddha said, wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, there is cessation. There is cessation comes about. This is the answer. How you understand this statement? Wherever in the world there's anything agreeable and pleasurable, there is cessation comes about. Do you understand this statement? No. Therefore, sutta is very difficult to understand as well. Unless you cannot take one sutta and understand all. No, you have to search for other sutta which support this statement. Okay. And what is there in the world that is agreeable and pleasurable? We know already, right? Six sense spaces, six sense object, feeling, contact, a mind, mental state, then volitions, vitaka, thinking, pondering. All these are things in the world that is agreeable and pleasurable. Then on this point, you bring the craving to cessation. So I want to relate one of my story. At that time when I was in Sri Lanka, and I used to contemplate impermanence, suffering, non-self. But this is not clearly mentioned in the sutta. The way I teach you. So one day, and I used to recite Mahasatipatthana Sutta in Pali. So one day this question arises in me. Wherever in the world there's anything agreeable and pleasurable, there is cessation comes about. And what is there in the world that is agreeable and pleasurable? Sense spaces, sense object, and so on and so on. But how it comes to cessation? Buddha never give the answer. So finally, I understand. Only when you contemplate impermanent, suffering, non-self, that on that very spot, for example, feeling. So you contemplate feeling. Pleasant feeling cause a craving to arise. But on the same place, on the same spot, pleasant feeling, if you contemplate it as impermanent, suffering, and non-self, then the craving ceases. So from my own experience and from the strong knowledge of sutta, I know I teach correctly. I can quote other sutta to support my view. Okay, so in the Sanyutta Nikaya, inner exploration, Buddha said, whatever ascetics and Brahmins regard that in the world with a pleasant and agreeable nature as impermanent, as suffering, as non-self, as a disease, as a tumor, as fearful, as a killer, as void, as empty, they were abandoned craving. In abandoned craving, they will be free from suffering. Because craving is the origin of suffering, so when you abandon craving, your suffering comes to the end. So this is also mentioned in Samyutta Nikaya. But it's not mentioned in Satipatthana Sutta. For this reason, why people read Satipatthana Sutta, they only know how to be mindful, but they do not know how to contemplate impermanent, suffering. Right? Because the whole sutta did not stress on this point. Therefore, many people following Satipatthana Sutta, they only develop mindfulness and they forget another important mental factor, which is wisdom. Wisdom is to penetrate all phenomena are impermanent suffering and non-self. Therefore, we cannot pick up one sutta and think we understand. No, we have to read many, many sutta. Because sometimes sutta is what Buddha teach sutta to a certain person. So Buddha understand his level of intelligent. When Buddha speak in that way, they already understand, and Buddha don't have to talk very long. But for us, our intelligent level is not same as the audience. Therefore, we cannot understand. We need teacher to explain to us so that we can grasp it. Okay. So for this statement, the normal truth, the third normal truth, the cessation of all craving, is to note whatever object, whatever phenomena you come across, you encounter as impermanent, suffering, non-self, as disease, as fearful, as tumor, as killer, as void, as empty, as not permanent self, again and again, again and again. And for this point, I want to add one more statement from the sutta again. One day, Maha Kopita, if I'm not mistaken the name of this bhikkhu, one day a bhikkhu asked Venerable Sariputta a very important question. A very, very important question, but I'm very shocked that no one mentioned this one. And this question will be attract most practitioners. Most practitioners, all practitioners come to practice, they want to know this question. And yet, so far, I never heard any Dhamma speaker talk about this one. Do you want to know? Sure. Okay. So the most important he asked is, Venerable Sariputta, how should we regard five aggregates in order to become Sotapanna? Is it an interesting question? Everybody want to know. Because you come to practice, you want to become a noble one, right? Therefore, why this question is not mentioned? It's not bringing out to the audience. I'm very surprised. When I saw this statement, I have found a jewel. And I think you are also interested to know what is Venerable Sariputta's answer. You have practicing it already. Venerable Sariputta said, if a yogi constantly contemplate five aggregates as impermanent, as pain, as suffering, as inconsistent, as change, as rising and falling, as fearful, as tumor, as no protection, as no refuge, as disease, as void, as empty, as non-self, he will soon attain Sotapanna. So you have practicing already. And most of you, through the interview, I know you got it. So when you go back home, keep on contemplate in that way. And when you become Sotapanna, please come and tell me. Okay? Come and tell me so that I can share with other people. And the second question the same monk asked, he was very satisfied. At least he know the way already. Then he asked again, how a yogi regard the phenomena, or how a yogi regard five aggregates so that he can become Sakadagami. Once you become Sotapanna, not enough. You want to go one step higher, ma. So how to become Sakadagami? Venerable Sariputta give very simple answer. Same. S-A-M-E only. S-A-M-E. Same. constantly contemplate in the same way, you will achieve Sakadagami. Then how to become Anagami? Same. How to become Arahan? Same. After Arahan, no need to do anything already. This answer given by Venerable Sariputta. Such an important statement, and yet no teacher mentioned. What a loss. Right? What a loss. Therefore, I urge you, before come to practice, you must read Sutta. Otherwise, sometimes you will mislead by some teacher, then do not know. After 10 years also do not know Anicca Dukkha Anatta. Right? Therefore, I always encourage people read Sutta. I myself read a lot of Sutta. If you read my book, you can see I quote from this Sutta, quote from that Sutta. It's not my opinion. I quote from Sutta and I put into practice, then I realize it. That's all. Okay, so this is the cessation of all suffering. The noble truth of the cessation of suffering. It's bring to the craving to the cessation. Okay, now we go to the last noble truth. And this, the third noble truth, the cessation of all suffering. First, Buddha said, you must know theoretically. Second, this the cessation of all, the cessation of suffering must be developed. The noble truth of the cessation of suffering must be developed repeatedly. This means that you have to constantly, repeatedly note anicca, dukkha, anatta in regard to five aggregates, or in regard to six sense spaces, six sense objects, or to feelings, or to all your mental state. Repeatedly, not only one time. Only through development, the wisdom come to maturity. Okay? Now we come to the last noble truth, the path leading to the cessation of suffering. So when you contemplate in this way, impermanent, your feeling also impermanent, the mental state, happiness, sorrow, worry, fear. When it arises, contemplate impermanent, not a self, impermanent, not a self. And keep on develop your insight of impermanent, suffering and non-self. Then when you abide, when you contemplate in this way, then one abides uninflamed by lust. When lust will arise, you contemplate impermanent, lust will disappear. So one abides uninflamed by lust, unfettered, and contemplating danger. Danger of five aggregate, danger of six sense spaces, six sense objects, danger of pleasant feeling, because pleasant feeling bring to craving. Pleasant feeling give rise to craving. So when we contemplate impermanent non-self, we overcome our lust. And later on, we contemplate danger of the five aggregate. We see it's suffering. When you see it's suffering, when you see the whole process cannot be controlled, then you start to understand it is very dangerous to possess. It's very dangerous to have this five aggregate again and again, because all the happening is out of our control. So then you contemplate the danger of five aggregate. And if you contemplate in this way, then the five aggregates affected by clinging are diminished or for oneself in the future. This very important statement. I need to explain to you further. So, let's say pleasant feeling arises. Then you do not contemplate impermanent, or non-self. So long you do not contemplate impermanent or non-self, then craving sure arises, because dependent origination says that depend on feeling, craving arises. This is what Buddha said, right? And through your own experience, you know it is correct. So long you do not contemplate impermanent, so craving will arise based on pleasant feeling. When craving arises, this is called mental karma. I mentioned many times already, this is called mental karma. And this mental karma immediately creates new aggregate in the future. In the future doesn't mean the next life. Maybe the next moment, or next 1 second, next 2 seconds. So whenever there's craving in your mind, the new 5 aggregates are built up. But when you contemplate craving as impermanent or pleasant feeling as impermanent, your mind is uninflamed by lust, unfettered. Then the 5 aggregates affected by clinging, or the 5 aggregates of clinging are destroyed for oneself in the future. And once craving, which bring renewal of beings, every craving bring a new existence. So once craving, which bring renewal of being, is abandoned. So long you contemplate impermanent suffering and non-self, your craving is abandoned. So you are destroy the new 5 aggregate in the future. And the view of such person, what is the view? Contemplate impermanent, contemplate the danger of 5 aggregate. The view of such person is right view. His thought is right thought. His effort to contemplate impermanent suffering and non-self is right effort. His mindfulness, he's not forgetful. He is not forgetful about impermanent suffering and non-self. Therefore, his mindfulness is right mindfulness. And his concentration on the anicca, dukkha, anatta is right concentration. At that time, it's not anapana concentration. It's called vipassana concentration, which is also called right concentration. And then his bodily action, verbal action, and his livelihood have already been well purified earlier. Just like before you come, you take the 5 precepts, 8 precepts. Your verbal action, physical action, and your livelihood have been already purified. Now you only need to develop right view, right thought, right mindfulness, right effort, and right concentration. So if you contemplate whatever phenomena arise from mind and body, or contemplate your 5 aggregate or 6 sense spaces or 6 sense object or feeling or all different mental state as impermanent, suffering and non-self, your view is right view. Your thought is right thought. Your mindfulness is right mindfulness. Your effort is right effort. And your concentration is right concentration. Thus, this noble is for path comes to fulfillment. This is the path leading to the cessation of suffering, and this is mentioned in Majjhima Nikaya 149. You can write down and go back and read. 149. So this is the path leading to the cessation of suffering. So when this noble effort path comes to fulfillment, then you attain. You attain the end of suffering. Okay, so this is what I want to share today about the Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana in regard to 4 Noble Truths. Okay, that's all for today.